Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, family. This is On the Real with Dr. Deb. I am America's family therapist. I am leading our conversation about racism. Yes, I am going to keep inviting you to come to the kitchen table to have a family discussion. Yes, because our family, and I will say this nearly every week, is in deep trouble. And our family is quite dysfunctional. You know, that's not a term I like to use, but when you keep doing things that are destroying your own community, in this case, the American community, our world community, and you know that it's destructive, but you pretend that it's not destroying your home, then you have a problem. And your parents, and I would say this, when I was growing up, we would have family discussions. So we would have to come to the table and talk about it. So I'm inviting you, because whether you want to believe it or not, whether you want to accept it or not, you are in my family. And if you do just a little bit of research, and those of you who don't know this, there is only one family of people, and that's humans. There are no sub-families, no sub-cultures, no sub-races. As a matter of fact, that word, as it relates to humans, is improper, inappropriate, wrong, all right? So as a family, there are things that continue to happen all over our country, from the preschool to the graduate school, that are affecting us. And what we have to do is figure out a way how to change it. And you hear people say this all the time. We can't do anything about racism till we can have a talk about it. Well, that's my job, and I'll say that my job in this family is to do something proactive to bring us to the table. Now, I know some of you, today's show, while I get ahead of myself, today's show says racism as American as apple pie. Racism, American as apple pie. It is as old as our country is, if we can even start from the beginning with the natives that were here when the Europeans showed up and basically stole their land from them. That was racist. That was a racist behavior. And then, of course, when Africans were brought to this country and then scientists decided to make themselves feel better about the way they were treating Africans, they created this system of human races so that they can prove that these black people deserve to be at the bottom of the chain of power, if you will. And I talked some about racism having to do with power, but as American as apple pie, I was looking at an article just a little while ago, and it was talking about how there's some proof that children, babies, discriminate. And I wonder how that is, because we think that racism, I thought racism was something that you learn. But when I think about ages of racism and ages of discrimination and ages of people being disenfranchised, I can see some possibilities for that. Because what we do, what we eat, how we think, it's a part of our very nature. It becomes a part of ourselves. There are experiments done, you know, with rats. And this one particular one stands out right now, in that they had conditioned this mother rat to, I think, respond to either a loud noise or the smell of something. And they did this over and over and over. When the babies were born, they subjected the baby to the same thing that they had subjected the mom to, and they had never experienced it in their own lives, and they responded the way the mother did. So based on that, and of course they use rats to talk about our lives all the time, if there's any amount of truth to that, then I would have to admit that there's a possibility that as innocent as we think babies are, they're being exposed to these ideas, these beliefs, these feelings before they even are born. You know, there are other studies that talk about depression in moms affects children, and we know, we finally realize that mothers who smoke and drink, their babies, they weigh less, they're less intelligent, if you will, early on, than mothers, babies from mothers who didn't have that experience. So with all of that said, my point is it is so deeply a part of the way we think, act, respond to other people, and that it's going to take some changes. And if you were just hearing me talk just now, then you can see what would need to happen to change this. And the first thing I'm saying is that we need to come to the table and talk about it. And I'm inviting you, and I'll continue to invite you every week. Is when you hear me talk and you find yourself in your life doing whatever it is you're doing and you see something that's indicative of racism within yourself or within someone that you deal closely with, then begin to have a conversation. You don't have to attack this person. You could just say, tell me, how is it that you could say that or do that and be okay with that? That's something as simple as that. How can you say what you just said to that black person or to me about that black person, and how is it that you have come to believe that? And then have a conversation about why that is important. And that could be the beginning. So while you're at the table now, when you leave the table, it's going out and talking to someone. And also, I cannot stress enough about the need to not judge and blame people, because just like those babies, the rats and the humans, they came here and were subjected to some things, and they, and even when they were in their mom's wombs, they were subjected to some things that affect them when they got out. So we can't be mad and upset with people for having the ideas that they have, but we can gently challenge those ideas and invite them to change their response to other people. So as American as apple pie, that means that's just like the sea to shiny sea, and just like the flag, the red, white, and blue with the stars on it, just like every holiday we celebrate, you know, Columbus Day, Independence Day, all of those things are American ideals, but so is racism. And I said those are American ideals, but racism is American idea. And while it appears all over the world, we're not living all over the world, so we're not going to deflect this conversation to what's happening in any other country, Japan or China or Africa, wherever. We're talking about here because this is our house and this is our family. And people come here expecting, you know, to see something, especially if that's a person of color, and they it doesn't take them long to realize what they have walked into and what they're trying to become a part of, and the dysfunctionality of this family. So it says, as American as apple pie, so just like apple pie requires someone to make it, it's going to require our efforts to unmake this. And I've already offered one way you can unmake it. But until you get the muster, you muster the courage, you get the strength, you get the whatever it takes to challenge yourself and challenge those around you, just start looking at, start paying attention to what you see on television. I was taking a Uber in Austin earlier this year, and the driver, you know, basically we just started talking, and he offered, you know, that maybe all this talk about black and white and race is making things worse. And as we continue to talk, and he tried to get me to agree with that. Of course, I couldn't really agree to that because I think talk can make things better. But the one thing that I shared with him is that he was thinking everything was fine, but I said to him, your children can turn the television on and see positive images of themselves. Even if there were no negative images of black people on TV, you don't see everything there just says to them, you are okay, and one day you're going to be great. And our kids have to, black kids have to extrapolate that possibility. But to be able to see somebody on talk looking like them on that tube where millions and millions of other people are watching that look like them, they don't get that. So we can just count the number of ways in which this idea of racism continues to be perpetuated in our society. And so if you are one of those persons that think that this is a post-racial society, then I'll invite you to, you know, as open as you think you are and as comfortable as you are in your skin, I invite you not even to look at the news, forget the news, because you know how they do information. Just start looking around you and then ask yourself, how many black people do I see in my community on a daily basis? And when I do see them, what am I thinking about them? Black people, same thing. When I see a white person in my community or at the store or at work, wherever I see them, what am I responding to? What do I see? What do I feel? Now, see, black people, your question is, how comfortable am I with these other people, with white people? And what do I think of them? Do I expect them to be better, act better, just no more? Do I expect that? And if I expect that, where did I come to think that? Even if I'm a successful physician, if I'm a successful psychotherapist, if I'm a successful engineer, in whatever field you're in, do you ever find yourself not questioning your abilities, but comparing your abilities and comparing what they have and where they are compared to where you are and what you have? Those are residual racist kinds of things that you have to face. So we're not off the hook because we're choking on this pie, you know, and that continues to be dished out to us. And that's how we can be different. So if we can, again, stop with the blaming, because we know history says what has happened. So we don't have to reiterate what history has said, but what we can do is begin to look at ourselves and see how we can take advantage of the potential that we do have and the resources that we do have. And again, that's a whole different conversation, because that's going to require so much. Just like those infants and those rats I was talking about, that in you have been ingrained to think much less of yourself than other people. Much less than yourself compared to white people. So this racism in our country, this air we breathe, this water that we drink, these very basic things are just as vital to our lives, but that are synonymous to the racist experiences that both black people and white people have in this country. And unless we decide that our family is going to be a different environment, a different community than what it has been the last 300 and some years, it's going to continue until something really goes bad. And if you look at American history, you got to have a civil war, a revolutionary war. You have to have all these small wars in order for something systemic to change. So we haven't had that war, and I think we haven't because, quite honestly, nobody really wants to fight and nobody wants to die. But based on how we're responding to this family problem, it may come to that. It may come to that. And then the world that we want to live in, that we want to see in this country, will be left for generations in the future to build and rebuild. And they'll talk about how ignorant and how selfish and how greedy and how close-minded we were about the lives that we lived and the things that we did. And so, you know, I won't even appeal to the Christian nature or the Christian mind. Because we quite honestly are not living up to that either. But I will appeal to the very human and humane blood that runs through everybody's veins here, that we realize that if we're one people and we're one family, and the only way our family is going to thrive and survive is that we start treating each other like the basic family that we are. And everything comes back down to this sacrificial love, this selfless love. And until we can do that, our family is going to continue to flounder like it is. And I don't think none of us want to see a war happen here. We don't. We just want to live in peace with our family on a daily basis. I'm Dr. Deborah, Dr. D. Dr. Deb, it's been my honor. And until then, you know more than you think you know, and that's on the real. It's been my honor. See you next time, family. Mm-hmm.